It was. And so, okay. And so with that, when they pick the spot, if they go, okay, and for them that day, that was the place they thought, this is where we need to go. They will then get together with all the other small groups within their, what we describe as a zone. The junior high ministry and the high school ministry would have four or five small groups, maybe three or four at that time. And all three or four of them get together and go, okay, we got to come up with one. So get a bunch of junior hires and teenagers fighting it out about which place is going to win. And they're not as vicious as the adults sometimes, okay? I'm just saying.
That's true.
But then, so they put that all together, and then they make a video presentation to give to the church. The campus ministry did this. The adult zones did this. You got four or five groups. We would go places. And so then at a celebration, which is all of our small groups getting together, celebration, C-E-L-L, we all get together, and those videos are shown. And you're talking about a five-minute video, promotional video, sales video, funny stuff, exciting stuff, goofy stuff, but all about go here. And so now the entire church, everybody shows up for the video night because they want to see where are we going to go. And it is one of the coolest things, man, to see this happen. And then to let them know, hey, the leadership is going to pray and we're going to fast and we're asking you to pray and fast. And we start that, we'll talk about that a little bit more later on with the selection of the team. But we're going to pray and fast. And then on this particular date, we will reveal the location of that place, and we'll have another celebration. And those celebrations are attended in ways nobody misses. For the videos, man, they wanted to be there. And for the announcement, they're always there. And there is always a little bit of disagreement. But the weird thing is, when we came over here, we did this whenever I was at the church in Alton. This was the location that nobody thought we would be, but as people researched, almost everybody. We had groups go, we think St. Charles County would be best, but we're going to do something different because we know other people are finding that too. Mm-hmm. So you had all of these people doing this, and yet when the location was selected, there was no disunity at all. I mean, none. It was just absolutely amazing. And when we, you know, selected University City, there were people that had said, I think we need to go here, I think we need to go there. And when it came down to University City, everybody's like 100% behind it. Mm-hmm. And in being behind it, they are also going to know if you're behind it, you're going to help finance it. Because we financed all of those plants with one contribution, a one-day contribution. And out of our three teams, we've sent them out with a total of around $500,000 total. Three contributions in our little church that came up with $500,000. This, the one we're planting now, that we're just, and we're stuttering on it right now. We're going to do it. But with our building, was supposed to be done a year, you know, 9 months ago. It's like, hurry up, get ready. But there's a lot of factors right now that we're trying to say, can we do this? But as we select it, the challenge becomes greater. Because now we're looking at areas outside of here. We're looking at places that aren't 30 to 40 to 50 minutes away, but 2 hours away. Or 2.5 hours away. And so training and the continued relationship becomes a bit of a struggle. But that's, for those of you who are here, you know that's how the process goes. And here we'll be going through it again within the next few months to where we will, people have already been to some of the towns. And so we'll be having some compilations, and we don't know exactly when because, again, it's been a moving target. But it's a really cool thing. And if you're ever going to plant a church and then you want to get buy-in for it, make sure that reaching the lost and making disciples is your goal, but then allow and invite them into the process of prayer and fasting, praying that God, you will reveal the place that you want us to be, not the one I wanted. That's something I have to get onto our people, because they will find a place that they like. I've got family there, and that's okay. You got family there.
Or they want to go to college there.
Yeah. And that's really good that you want that, but you ain't the Holy Spirit. So we're asking for discretion of prayer, and we're also asking yielding. Remember, because at the Macedonian church, it said, after much prayer and fasting, God spoke and said, set apart Paul and Barnabas before me. It was very clear, and they pray and fast some more, like, hold it, you want those two? And so that they fasted again, to yield and unite around the Spirit. So that's the process of picking the city. Okay, now where are we at?
Because I don't know, because you're all over the place.
Am I?
You did like 3 points down here already. Yeah, you did.
That's where
I'm lost. I'm totally lost. Yeah, you did.
Okay, now this
is... So just go back up here, run through that quickly, and we can...
So now with the location, let's talk about the picking of the team and the training, okay? And it is kind of blended together all right there. So there are different methods, we said, the persecution method, the purpose method, and then there's, you know, the method that we have, and that's what we're going to share with you, all right? And so here's what we do. We inform the church of the general date of our church plant.
Which is subject to change.
Right.
I mean, during COVID, we had a date picked, a time, everything, and then COVID hit, and we were like, oh, what are we going to do? We did it anyway. Yeah, we sent it out anyway.
But. You guys, every other church plant that we heard of, North Boulevard, other places, they completely paused it, and we're like, people have already resigned their jobs.
They bought houses.
We can't resign this, and we're going to have this special contribution. How are we going to raise $175,000 for this church with people in the time of COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to walk by faith, and God honored that. So we will tell them, okay, here's where we're going. Oh, no, here's the general, here's the date of our plant. We're going to do this in August. We do it usually in one of two places, two dates. August, we do that. The first times we sent church plants out is because it allowed our campus ministry to start the year in the fall semester and to have a good launch. With Columbia, we went out in, the campus became less significant because it was shut down. So we went out in November, and we sent them out in November in order to help them utilize the Christmas season, a time that people in our culture are more open to attending church than any other. And so we thought, okay, they can do that. They can have this big time to where they're working within the city. And then when campus starts again in the spring semester, or the winter, I guess winter in January when it starts again, or February, whenever you guys, each school goes back.
And actually the plant itself, the people that went on the plant didn't all even move at the same time. I know with us, we sold our house and we moved in March. And we drove back and forth, which was just about an hour all the time back to Alton until the plant started in August. And that happens sometimes. You know, you just have to do the best you can and trust God through all of it, honestly.
So we announced the data thing. Then we really begin to intensify the focus on the upcoming plant. We've announced the date. We begin teaching in our on Sunday in small groups. Usually I have a series that's connected with that in some way to talk about what God's doing. We probably don't teach as much as some churches might need to, as some of you might need to, because it's really built into our kind of DNA to where that's what we do. And so a lot of our sermon series, a lot of our talks will already have things to do that.
And you already talked about the special collection, you know, that we have for every plant that goes out. We have a special contribution. It's really cool. It's cool to see everybody's sacrifice. They sell things, they get extra jobs, they do all kinds of stuff to be able to raise the money. And it's so encouraging to those that are going on the plant to get to be a part of that, but also get to see everybody else doing that. It's really encouraging to them. And then we have the prayer and fasting. And we try to do a 24-hour fast. And in that 24-hour fast, we put out a schedule and we pray, have somebody praying every hour all night long, you know, and then we're fasting all together at the same time. And everybody loves that. I mean, it's hard to set that alarm to get up at 3 a.m., you know, to pray for an hour and not fall back to sleep. You don't want to be the one that falls back to sleep. But it's really encouraging and it's really cool.
And I think for the inner belt, we had 7 days in advance, at least 7 days, to where there was 24 hours prayer and fasting around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week before we sent them out. But the special contribution also... in different churches, you know, some churches are blessed with money. We are blessed with a lack of it. You know, we are a young congregation, both as far as age, and not so much age anymore, but as far as the demographic that we reach in the Vesta lot in high school students, junior hires, high school and college, and adults. But anybody who looks at our demographic, anybody, the guys from Solomon, the guy from Nations University, there was a guy today from a Christian college in Moberly, Missouri that was here today, and all of them noticed, man, you guys are one of the youngest churches we've ever seen. And so we don't have it in our budget to send out a team, and we try to give them at least $150,000 when they go out that will cover their basic expenses for, I think, two or three years.
I think it used to be three.
It depends.
But
and so, but the cool thing about that is it's another way of getting people to have buy-in. Mm-hmm. to where you guys don't, you know, realize, you may not even realize, but when our people, some of our people who are older, when they look at you guys from the Inner Belt or from Collinsville, anybody from Collinsville here? Anybody from Columbia here? Okay. All right. So it, whenever our people look at you guys, you're not just some church out there that, that they, you know, some another congregation. You are, they feel invested in you. That, hey, we help them. They're us. They're part of us. And the giving period of time, that sacrificial giving, is amazing. It brings things together. So both the selection of the area and the collection for the team going out, I believe, are unifying things to where it's not just a group of men that are making a decision or a group of women to make decision. We're going to go church plant. Either this happens on a broad base of support or it doesn't happen at all. And you all have been generous. You know, you guys that have been here, I mean, we've had high school students that have emptied their savings. You know, we had a kid who has saved money to buy a car, a couple thousand dollars, and he decided, I'm buying the car. I'm giving my money to the special contribution. And so most of our contribution comes in the form of anywhere from $300 to, you know, most of them probably, I'm guessing $300 to $3,000. And all of those, the vast majority of them are high school and college students for those people. And obviously you have some people that give in $20,000 and $10,000 and $5,000. But those are rare. It is the collective buy-in that allows it to happen. And in doing that, it makes it, everybody knows we need each other and we matter, okay? So after we inform the church of the general day, we intensify our focus on the upcoming plant. And thirdly, Rita, we
identify who's going to be going on the team. Identify who's going to be going on the team. And we start with a survey of the congregation. I was just going to pass these out. You guys can take one and pass them down. But this is what we give out to the entire church. And we ask them to fill it out and then to put it back in the basket. And then we sit down and go through them all.
And we hand out this form, by the way, at least a week in advance. And we've been talking about it for probably 3 months in advance.
Sorry about the line in the middle, guys. My printer started acting up.
In a book that we are just reading, and that if you're in the Inner Belt, you guys will be reading this before very long. Any of you guys have your devotional book with you today that you guys wrote?
It's so cool.
Anybody got a copy? You don't have a copy? I got a copy and you don't have one. But no, they're going through it starting a, because the Inner Belt, here's another cool thing for you guys who are here. They're beginning a booklet, 30 Days of Devotions, that their own members wrote, people who have become Christians, many of them since they were over there. And it will begin the process of their setting a time frame on planting churches of their own. So the baby church becomes the planting church, and we become the grandfather church, I guess. But in a book that we're reading, and you guys at the Inner Belt will be reading this, and probably most of our churches, we're going through it right now. We have over, I think, 400 copies of a book called Gaining by Losing. And if you are a church leader, if you're somebody who is interested in planting churches, it is the single best book I have ever read on the idea of church planting and the call to plant churches.
It's amazing.
About 6 months ago, maybe that, Jerry Jones, I don't know if any of you guys know who Jerry Jones is. He was a Bible teacher, pretty prominent guy back in the 80s and 90s. He does a lot, still a lot in Marriage Matters. But he called me and he's like, hey, he calls me about every 3 or 4 years, and he calls and he acts like he talked to me yesterday. Hey, Coxie, what you doing? I'm working on my sermon, Jerry. What are you doing? I'm reading the book you wrote. I said, Jerry, how you doing? How old are you? He goes, well, I'm 85. I said, well, and I'm as sharp as I've ever been. I said, well, Jerry, I didn't write a book. He goes, I know you didn't write a book, Robert. And he honestly, then he goes, but this is a book that when I read it, it's the best thing I've ever read on church planning, but every page I think about you and I think about the crossings. He goes, this is the book you could have or should have wrote. He goes, so I just want to let you know that. And as I'm reading, I'm thinking about how cool what you guys are doing out there. And you're going to make a difference. It was very encouraging, obviously, to me. A couple of weeks later, it hit me that I better read this book, because if he calls back and I've not read the book, it might not be a good thing, you know. And so I bought the book and began to read it. And as soon as I start reading it, and Reed and I are driving down to Hot Springs. No, we're going down to Pleasant Valley, I think, for the Agape Conference. And as we were reading this book, some of the questions and the struggles that she had, she and others, honestly, I think less of me on this is, how are we going to do this? man, we've got this going on with the building. We've got, you know, everything just recovering from COVID. We've sent out, you know, 90 of our leaders in the last, you know, 10 years. How are we going to do this? And little by little, as we're reading it, we're looking at each other going, man, this guy is just throwing all of our doubts, you know, before us and then removing them with faith in Jesus. So if you're going to plant a church, I would really encourage you to invest in that book. Read it. It is not just a good book. It's a super interesting book that he'll love.
You can actually get it free, right, on a couple of different places.
Yeah, for the places, what's the app you can get where libraries? Is it Hoopla?
Hoopla has Hoopla. It, but there's another
if you, one
has
if your
too.
Library has a Hoopla system, mm-hmm. you can go in and get that book for free and read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. So anyway, we are, make we sure these, I don't get too far ahead
questions.
Here. We're on this. In one of the chapters of Gaining by Losing, and it's been cool because this guy did a lot better job writing this book than I would have, okay? There's not, like, punctuation errors or things that are misspelled, you know, and there's not sections misarranged or something like that. But one of the chapters is The Myth of Calling. And in that chapter, he talks about somewhere along the line, Satan has convinced us that there are a few people who are called into ministry and called into significance by the Holy Spirit, like Paul and Barnabas are mentioned, and we recognize that they were called, but we don't recognize that if you're a believer in Jesus, you're called. That you, when you obeyed the gospel of Jesus, the Bible says that God called you through that gospel. And he didn't just call you to salvation, he called you to sanctification, which means you were called to be saved and you were set apart for a holy purpose. And that holy purpose is making disciples, displaying the love of Christ before the world in a way that the kingdom of God invades the kingdom that we live in, this earthly kingdom. And so long before we read that book, as we did these little surveys that are in your hand now, you'll notice, again, we can just read through this and this is the one I think we did for University City. So you guys that are here, in 2004, a devoted group of 30 individuals from Alton, Illinois founded the Crossings Church in Wentzville. They left their comfort zones and homes to help others discover a life-changing, eternity-shaping relationship with God. Since then, the Crossings Church has flourished, growing from 30 to an average of 500 on Sunday mornings. In 2014, the Crossing Church expanded its mission, sending another 30 members to University City. No, it's to establish the Crossings in route. Now we're excited to announce our next endeavor, planting Collinsville Crossings Church in Collinsville, Illinois next summer. We're in the process of selecting a dedicated team to move to Collinsville who will make a significant impact for Christ in that community. Below, you have the opportunity to inform the church leadership of your interest and willingness to be a part of this exciting new church plant. Please check a box and feel free to leave any comments on the back of the card. And we didn't put the comments on the back but we wanted you to see this. And here are the things. It says that I believe it would be best for me to stay at the Crossing Church and faithfully serve him there. When we did the Columbia Church, we changed that. And we said, I believe that God is calling me to stay at the Crossing Church and faithfully staying in the ministry here. Or I believe God is calling me to commit to the Collinsville Church and faithfully serve Christ there. Or I believe that God is calling me to serve wherever the Crossings leadership feels I can be most beneficial to the kingdom, whether it be at Wentzville or at Collinsville. But we wanted to let people know two things. That number one, everybody is called, and everybody is called to serve. So if there is a plant, when we lose, if we lose 25 people this next time or 30 people this next time, some of them, a significant number of them will be people that are leading small groups, that are leading ministries, that are essential. Their role is essential to the flourishing that we're involved in. And in order for that to happen, somebody has to step up. But again, as we select them, we're letting people know that all of us are called. And, you know, obviously when we take these in, we have people say, I want to go on the plant. And usually, you know, that's a significant number. It's not, you know, it's not huge. It's usually, you know, 30 to 40 people, 50 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There'll also be a group of that's larger than that, you know. But the number that will say, you know, that I feel like I'm being called to stay and serve here. And then there's a surprising number of people that say, hey, we want to do what God wants us to do, mm-hmm. but we're not sure what it is. Wherever you guys think that we need to be to best benefit the kingdom, that's what we'll do. And that particular section, maybe, because you have some people who are just thrilled with a church plant, which is good. I like that. When you have people saying, I'm not sure, they're not just infatuated with church plant, but they'll say, I want to do wherever it's going to be the best for the kingdom. To me, that's the that's a very moving reality. Mm-hmm. It's a reality of trust and a purity of wanting to do what God wants them to do. So when those are handed in to the ones who say, we want to go on the plant, or we want to determine, we will, as a core group, again, we pray and fast about this. Usually it's a week or two that we're doing that. And then we hand out a church plant application interview for them to fill out. And she is my beautiful assistant, Vanna.
Again, there's a line in it. Please ignore.
Okay, you want to tell them about the survey?
Did you want to go through it?
Just general, just the question, maybe.
Okay. On the first page, the questions of motivation is, why do you feel you should be on the team? How will you respond if you're not selected? Which, that's a really good one, too. It's really funny. I was going through some of our... The ones when we left Greater Alton and came over here, I went through some of the people that wanted to come. I just happened to find them, Tim and Christian Pruitt. And it was just really neat going back and looking at their interviews. It was really cool. But I think that's an important one. What are you going to do if you're not selected? I think it reveals and says a lot whenever they answer that one.
And honestly, when we were at Alton, there was one person, when we asked them, what are you going to do if leadership feels like you shouldn't go? And they said, I'm going to go anyway.
I'm going to go anyway. And we're like, ooh.
And red initially, flags, no, for flags. Me though, initially I was like, man, that's cool. This guy's really convicted of that. He's going to go anyway because he feels this is God's will. Part of that made us go, we're going to select this guy. But when he got over here, he was one of the biggest troublemakers. Struggled with immorality. We got somebody that's coming on a church plant that's having sex in the library at Lindenwood University. And I tell you that to say, hold it, maybe we shouldn't have been so thrilled with the idea that even if the leadership doesn't think that I want to go, that I should go, that I'm going to go anyway. So again, there is no, you know, we are praying and we're doing the best we can. And that was the very first time we'd ever planted a church, mm-hmm. that I've ever been, as far as we'd started Greater Alton, but as far as leaving, you know, the area and coming new. And this was the first one. That interview was one that when we asked it, we were trying to check. Now the reason we put it on there, is we want to make sure people's motives are right. You know, how are you going to respond if you don't? And if they're going to throw a fit if they don't, they're probably going to throw a fit over some other don't on the plant, mm-hmm. where they are. And a new church can't deal with somebody throwing fits. Yeah. They're too small and too vulnerable.
And the second one deals with finances, questions of finances. Describe your financial situation over the past 3 years, and how would you project your financial situation the next 12 months? And I think that's important, because sometimes you can see people are like, oh, it's really bad, it sucks. You know, over the last 3 years, it's been horrible. But over the next 12 months, I think it's going to be awesome. You know, they have this high expectation of how that's really going to turn around real fast. And sometimes people, I think, have a problem. Why do you ask these questions? Why are you asking this? Well, you know, when you get over there and that money that the church has sent with you is gone, you better have people that are being sacrificial and actually giving. It's one of them was, which of the following best describes your level of weekly giving over the last 2 to 3 years? And at one point, we just put your giving over the last 2 to 3 years. And we had to change that to your weekly giving, because I think we asked consistently, do you give consistently? And, of course, one of the answers was, yeah, I give consistently. And we come to find out it was consistently like once every 6 months I gave, but no other time. Yeah, and I'm we need to change a little bit of the wording on this one.
Yeah, when we came from Greater Alton, that was one of those that we're like, oh, do you have what percentage do you give? If you know what level of weekly, we said, what percentage do you give? And they said
10%.
I happened to talk with the treasurer over there at that time, said, yeah, here's kind of the surveys, what's going on. He goes, yeah, they gave 10% 2 weeks out of 52, and the rest of the year they gave nothing.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? You got to be kidding me. And so we talked with the couple about that and said, that's not really honest. And, you know, if you're going to be on this team, they're going to have to – everybody's going to be counting you, and you can't have a two-week in 52 mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we talked with them about it and, mm-hmm. and challenged them a little bit, and they ended up coming on the team.
Yeah.
But it was just one of the things that you're going – a church plants, 90% of church plants fail. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 will open, and by failure, the way that the place that I read that was the one doing the survey said that in 5 years they're no larger than they were when they started, which I would say that's a pretty good definition of failure. Mm-hmm. And many of them close their doors. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is to allow some of the things that the Holy Spirit called people to do to see if they're being faithful, because faithfulness is a mark of fruitfulness in Scripture. Mm-hmm. So.
And then we do ask, how much will you commit to give on a weekly basis at whatever church plant is they're going to be going to? And we also do understand that sometimes that changes. You know, they're moving, they're getting a new job, so maybe they won't be able to give as much. But sometimes God has been really good to our people that have went on plants and has blessed them with amazing jobs. It's just been crazy. We talk about it all the time, how God has blessed the people that were willing to leave, you know, everything they had and go on a plant, and how he's given them jobs and stuff that's just, we don't have explanations why.
It's probably the single greatest thing, if you ask me. How can you tell God's been with you? People with high school educations or maybe some, you know, college education that we're making, and again, 20 years ago, they're making $7 an hour when they moved over here, that are now making $175,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And you go, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. When at the Inner Belt, you know, when the guys went over there, you guys had a couple of people looking for jobs, and the school system, I think, had like 375 applications for two positions. And two of the people from the Inner Belt applied out of that, hundreds of applications, and they both got the job.
The only crazy.
Two. And you're going, no, that's not just a matter of luck. That's God at work. And probably we don't have time to go through everything. Yeah. So just in generally, if you go on down, there's those things that are there. What's the next heading, babe?
Questions of weakness and struggle, which is really an important one. Are you struggling with any specific sin right now that could hinder or threaten the plant? Because you need to know. Now, just because that's on there doesn't mean they're going to be honest sometimes and really tell you. We had that happen. And there's been, I think, one time that we actually had to send somebody back from the plant that had a pretty significant role. And we sent them back, and they came clean with stuff. And we were like, you need to go back and work on you. And we can't deal with this on this plant because they have other things to do. And so he graciously, he went back, and he got the help he needed. And then he went on the next plant, and he's done great since then. So, but that's really an important one. Questions of effectiveness, this one's important too. Just on the personal, you know, evangelism, how do you do with that? Who have you brought to Christ that you first met, you studied the Bible with, all of that? Because if they're not doing it here, you know, where we have all the people here and everything that we have, why do we think they're going to do it on the church plant? So we need to know how effective they are, you know.
I was speaking out in Oklahoma, in Oklahoma City, at a campus ministry, national campus ministry seminar, I think is what it was then. And I did a track on church planting, and I had a bunch of college campus ministers in there, and I said, guys, I want you to write down how many people you have personally led to Christ in the last, I don't know, I said 3 years or whatever, I may have said a year, and brought them all in. Out of about 40 or 50 campus ministers, there had been like three baptisms among the 40 or 50 people that somebody had actually reached out to and met and brought in. And I said, so now, guys, if you want to, so the most we have here is any one person bringing one. So if you go out leading the church plant and you're true to form, in 10 years, you will have had 10 baptisms. If you follow your pattern and you're not being honest with yourself or not aware of the reality that just because you go to another location, it's not going to change who you are. And so if you're not going to be someone who's reaching out to people here, you're not going to do it someplace else. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't say you shouldn't do it, but it says you got to understand that you are going to be leading. So it's super important. And so we want to know who this church plant. It's got to be self-funding within 3 years. It's got to be able to begin that dream. So if you have people that have never produced anybody, generally speaking, what's going to happen is they're going to go there and they're not going to produce.
And it kind of goes along with the next one, the leadership development. How are you doing at developing people that you have brought? You know, have you brought them from membership to some sort of a leadership position? Because if you haven't done that, how are you going to do that on the church plant also? And I think it talks about personality and giftedness, which is a good one. But I think just questions of unity, that one's really, really, really important. If you go down through all the questions on that one, I think you really need to take those seriously whenever you're going through the interview process.
After we go
through this interview process, we meet with every person that we end up thinking, okay, we think they're going to be a good fit. We're going to sit down with them, and we go through every one of these surveys with every person that wants to go out on the plane.
Yeah, everybody who says, I want to go out on the team or I want to leave it available to
the core leadership
things. We go through it with everyone. Yeah. And it literally is an exhausting activity because you're talking about 30, 40, 50, you know, applicants. And, you know, our core leadership team are there. You know, the men are there. The girls are there because they have some great insight into things that the men sometimes just overlook. But, again, with that, we're trying to say, how do we set this church up for success? And there have been people, you don't have to have all the right answers to go to church plant, but it is important you have the right heart. And the right heart begins with addressing the struggles that are there. We had somebody who was going to lead a church plant out, and the longer that the people on that team were with him, we had more people coming saying, hey, I'm not going to go out on this church plant. Come to find out, they were struggling with the attitude of one of the leaders, that attitudes that he had acknowledged. And so it has to, you know, that was pulled back. Another more time was invested in the, and now is leading on a team. Mm-hmm. But it was a tough thing. But
they
blow up because you get out there and you lose your unity. Mm-hmm. And you lose your witness to the world when you lose your unity, and you lose your multiplied strength.
Yeah, and along with going through the personal interview with the entire core, we also meet with whoever their group leader is. So if they have their own cell, we obviously don't just meet with them, but we get with people in their group, or we get with their zone leaders and sit down and talk with them and just get their perspective on where they're at, because sometimes their perspectives are different, you know. So that's a good one.
And so when the team is selected, they would be pulled into their own small group. Mm-hmm. And that small group then we will intensify our focus and training on that team. And so that means that while every group has a leader and a male leader and a female leader at the crossings, these people will be focused on by the staff more. I'll spend more time with them. They'll spend more time with me. Carrie will spend more time with them. If they're the youth ministers, if they're going to be doing youth ministry, then Ashley and RJ are going to be spending with them. And they're going to spend a year mm-hmm. trying to reproduce themselves in a group to where we're watching and saying, okay, now you're the team. Let's see how you do here. And there is a high degree of encouragement and a high degree of scrutiny to where we're looking saying, hey, man, you're doing great here, but this isn't going to work. It's the pattern of the past that's there. And so we intensify the training and just give you some, because of time, the team will be asked to read a book, basically a book a month. They will be given a title of a book. I think you guys went through, even though we had really crappy Zoom and stuff, it made it pretty miserable, right? But we're hoping next class is the Macedonian Zoom call, so we're going to talk about how you can be trained even if you're not here, and at least assisted in training. But we'll have a book a month that they will go through, and they will come back, and they will be tested on the book. And they'll take their tests, and then we will grade their test. Now, I asked for a book list from everybody, from the guys, and they sent me a bunch on my phone, which I left down in my office.
I just had Master Plan of Evangelism as one of them. Might Share in His Holiness is another one.
I can give you a list. Master Plan of Evangelism, which is a classic book on disciple making.
Prideful Soul's Guide to Humility.
The Prideful Soul's Guide to Humility is a super, super good book because the church plant team, when they go out, they are for 3 years, they are under the oversight of the Crossings Church. And at the end of 3 years, if they want to extend that for two more, they can. But they're financially on their own, unless, again, you know, they know we have a phrase, we will always be we. Mm-hmm. You know, Collinsville, we had a building, a guy, amazing story. He goes, hey, could you and Rita come over? We want to talk to you. We were pretty, you know, and he wasn't a member of our church. He'd just been visiting for 4 or 5 weeks. We want to ask him questions about your plans with this Collinville plan, this whole building thing, what you're trying to do. So he calls over, he says, hey, and he said, hey, we're going to build a cabin, but we want to invest, you know, in some way in something that's going to last longer in our cabin. So we go over and spend the evening with him eating and talking, and not a lot of, they had some questions, but it wasn't, you know, what are you going to do? Who are you going to reach? What are you thinking? In the end of the evening, it was like, well, that's kind of cool. And nothing at all was said after, you know, what I mean, I'm going, well, I was expecting some more specifics. I still remember getting up, heading out to my car, and I get a text, and look at my text, and I'm going, and I come in to read and say, Rita, does this say what I think it says? What will you think it says? I think it says that he's going to buy that building for $275,000 for us. And she's like, what?
Give me that.
And she reads and she goes, and it said if it passes the inspections.
Environmental inspections,
then we have a check for you for $275,000 to buy that building. Which was, and they did, which is phenomenal. But when we got over there and we had to redesign the building, the architect that started with us and the city had approved us not to have to sprinkle the building, two or three things we didn't have to do, our architect died in the middle of the process. Danny Lankford picked him up. This guy picked Danny Lankford up from the airport when he went out to see the architect who lived in West Virginia. He was Danny Lankford's best friend's in college father-in-law. He drives to the airport to pick Danny up, and on Monday he dies. On Friday he picks him up, on Monday he's dead, and we don't know where everything is. So we get what we have together, not all have been stamped, and so they made us redraw everything. And in the time that they made us redraw everything, new fire inspectors and new building inspectors had been in, the others had been in their position for 30 years, and all of a sudden, here, just let us stamp this and you do it, went to about a $125,000 bill that they had no ability to pay for. And you guys remember, like you guys over at the Innerbelt, you guys, our Innerbelt church, honestly, after they were planted, these guys have been phenomenal when it comes to being willing to help the other plants. Mm-hmm. And they were a young church, but in a matter of a 4 week period of time, we came up with about $50,000 or $60,000 for them here. The Innerbelt, I think, came up with 20,000 of a church of about 80 people or 70 people in that notice. And then Collinsville came up with some too. And so but again, they're like, you know, what are we going to do? Well, it's we. And so we stepped in for that and helped them out.
I think we also had the monthly training. It was like a full day.
Yeah, where they take the test.
And you guys were a part of that too. I think you zoomed in on all that, right?
And let me try to give you some of the books. Okay, you didn't.
Okay, so that we might share his holiness, master plan of evangelism, first impressions, making small groups work, the power of together, and then prideful souls guide to humility.
All right. And we do alter those, and we kind of maybe add and take away. The guy's got a Cubs hat on, so there could be an error. All right, just saying.
And he's from Tulsa.
But so they go through, and I will be there, or Carrie or somebody will be there. The Innerbelt, we use our other people that have been out on plants to come in for some of that as well. But then we always leave them the last 2 or 3 hours to where they have to function on their own, that group. So I may be there from 9 till noon, but they're going to be for the next couple hours processing, discussing, sometimes confessing. We didn't study the book. And we take, the Bible says if you're faithful in small things, that you'll be faithful in big things. So somebody who's not reading that book and not taking that serious now, mm-hmm. that's not a good omen for what's going to happen mm-hmm. later on.
Yeah, and then we also continue with weekly staff meetings after. So we, every week, the plant guys get together on Wednesdays, and that's all of them. They still come, and the ones that don't live here, Zoom. Donnie zooms in, right? And I think, I don't know if Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, he left.
Donnie left, yep.
And then the women, we all have jobs. Somebody has to work, you know. So the guys, we have to carry the insurance.
Someone has to think, someone has to work.
So we just get to Facebook Messenger every week. All the women get together.
Hold on, we got to interrupt this. when you said somebody's got to work, all these girls are just laughing like, ha, ha, ha. And I say, when somebody's got to think, all of a sudden it got offensive, okay? That's just got to call
offensive.
That hypocrisy out there, all right?
But it's true. So most of them have jobs, and so a lot of them are where they can also do this and be on work calls and stuff at the same time. So we all just do it on Facebook Messenger, which is really cool. And I just can't emphasize how important that is. We also go through the same books and stuff that the guys are going through. But I think one of the most important parts of that is that we have people. We have some people that we can talk to. You know, being in ministry, especially being away from your families and everything, it's important that you have your group of people, your tribe, that you can confide in, that you can talk to. We have a lot of tears. We laugh a lot. We cry a lot, you know, everything. But it's a safe environment and a safe place for them, and I can't stress how important that is.
Yeah, after she has sent us men to the basement.
We do.
They get on the phone, and they disrupt our meeting, because literally these girls, I can hear them laughing all the way downstairs, you know, and stuff. But it's really cool because it's a new thing when you get out there. We've told all the church plants that this is more difficult than it looks. And when I say that, it's not difficult if you just want to put on a show and grab and draw people who are more interested in Sunday morning than they are in what happens in their life during the week. But to make a church, a disciple-making church, is not easy. And it can be very discouraging. So, you know, I've got Carrie and I. Carrie's got 20 years of experience. I've got 40 years of experience with that. There's very few things that they're going to encounter that we've not encountered. And, you know, it's something that, you know, that it can be rough. In the same way, even maybe more so, the ladies, because we have a high value on ladies. We would not be anywhere near as effective as we are if it had not been for our lady leadership. In every small group, our ladies study the Bible with the ladies. Our ladies are the one who instruct the ladies. That's why in our midweek service, we don't do a midweek service. We do a male-female discipleship group, and the male is led by a male. Shocking there. And the female is led by a female. Because it is so important. So the ladies that Rita's with, she's been around, you know, she is older than I am, and so she's got
I knew he'd get that in there somewhere.
But when she talks with them, she talks both as a spiritual mother and a friend, but also as wise counsel. And so those girls, it really is cool to listen to them. And so this training that they get that extends on out afterwards, you know, for them, we still get the Interbelt's 10 years old. They still come over on Wednesdays, and we spend 2 or 3 hours together, talking, reading, studying, praying. The church from Collinsville, their staff still comes over. We're probably, I think, going to adjust that maybe in the future as we have more churches where it'll be. We do it every week, but we're going to probably do it every other week and spend about 3 hours together. Then we eat lunch and have a time of fellowship. But it's air. It's not obligation. They get breath, they get life from that, and we're committed to we're becoming we. And we've talked with the Interbelt, you know, you guys, when you plant your own church, when you start planting churches, now your task is get to where you can do for them what we're doing for you, because you can't just continually add meeting upon meeting. And so at some point there'll have to be some of that breaking down, but we are always going to stay united around it. But there is a continuing focus with training. They know anytime you have a problem, anytime you have an issue, anytime we can do anything for you, we will be there for you. And so we get calls, but a lot of time, you know, they'll come in with going, hey, this happened this week. We don't know how to deal with this. So it's very much a practical thing. And we do that because, again, because of the nature of church plants failing. We want to do everything we can to keep them up and running and breathing and doing well.